Ireland may be a small island on the edge of a continent, but our unique mix of animals and plants gives us a fascinating natural history. This series celebrates the animals that share our island, and we meet some of the people who know them best. I'm Colin Stackage-Johnson, and this is Nature on One. Normally, when we go out to look for wildlife, we tend to head for the forests or the rivers and the fields and the mountains. But this week, I've come to Belfast. We will meet some children from a monthly nature club and some volunteers involved in hedge laying in a city park. We'll also take a boat trip on the River Laggan, which flows through the heart of Belfast, and discover some of the animals living right here in the middle of a bustling city. I'm really excited, as this evening I'm hoping to have a close-up encounter with 40,000 starlings and record the sounds from inside a starling roost, the calls of thousands of starlings under a city centre bridge. Victoria Park is right beside the George Best Belfast City Airport, and the airplanes pass directly overhead. And in the distance, I can see herons roosting on the small islands in the park. And in the background, though, those sort of iconic Harland and Wolff gantry cranes that line the docks. It really is an industrial-looking landscape. Orla Maguire is originally from Carrick-on-Shannon, but now she's the biodiversity officer with Belfast City Council.
This is Victoria Park, right in the heart of Belfast. It's only a couple of miles from the City Hall and the City Centre. It's a fantastic site, but also here you've got areas of open water, so you get lots of birds like mallards, black-headed gulls. What have we seen this morning? Herons.
Lots of herons.
Swans, all sorts of coots, moorhens, etc. You can see it's a very heavily utilised park for running, for walking. There have been 93 people here doing the park run this morning. Fantastic resource, people out jogging, pushing their prams, etc. Beautiful morning.
And we're right under the flight path.
Right under the flight path. Basically, all the planes will come into Belfast Airport right beside us. So because of that, they come down very low, and we've had to reduce the height of some of the trees because obviously health and safety is required. But, I mean, it's a very busy site. There are health and safety issues that have to be managed because of the nature of where this site is.
People are often surprised by that. They think, oh, wildlife, you know, you'd only find them in quiet places. And how could you have a kingfisher here or an otter there? But all these things, they adapt to our landscape. So long as they can find everything that they need to get through life, find food sources, find places to sleep at night, find places to breed.
Yeah.
There's nothing to stop them.
Food, water, shelter. Really not much different to people. And I think the main thing is, once it's routine and they know it's not necessarily a threat to them, you know, then they adapt it.
So what's the story with the Saturday Club, and where are we going to track them down?
Well, the Saturday Club is run in partnership with the Ulster Wildlife Trust. So it's an environmental education programme that happens across the city. And part of it is Saturday Clubs in public parks. So Victoria Park, we're here this morning because there's a Saturday Club on. There's one in Ormo, Woodvale, Falls Park. So across the city, various clubs where children come in, they get to enjoy nature, do environmental activities. It's really about getting them to engage with their local wildlife right in their local park. So we'll go in and we'll have a look and see what they're up to this morning.
Lucille Coates works with the Ulster Wildlife Trust, and she's in charge.
It's been running since 2011, so it's brilliant that it's continued so far. And the kids that arrive, they're brilliant, they're full of enthusiasm, and they come each week or each month. It's a monthly club, and they're great. So now we're going to play a game where I read a story, and I've put pictures out around the area, and you have to run. So I'll give you an example. So how many sounds can you think of in autumn?
Like leaves rustling and animals.
Well done. Well done. So I'm going to read a story, okay? And as I read
sounds like an angel.
It does. So many sounds.
Shanky leaves.
Do you enjoy just being out and about?
Yeah. Well, like, we sometimes go for hunts, and one day we made some food for birds, and stuff like that, and I just like coming around here to enjoy nature, and it's just a lot of fun coming to this club.
Is this something, Pierce, that you think other kids should get involved in?
Maybe, yeah, because there's not that very many people in today, so I suppose they could do with another few people.
And have any of you guys done anything in your own garden to sort of encourage wildlife?
Well, sometimes we put up bird feeders and some things like to some bait and food and stuff when we put it around the garden. And sometimes like frogs are in our garden too, and we've got two wildlife ponds, two of our ponds is wildlife ponds, and the frogs lay tadpoles in it, and that's frog spawn stuff.
Oh great. So you don't have any goldfish in there, do you?
In the other pond I've got some.
The Albert Bridge crosses the Lagan River right in the centre of the city, just down the road from the train station. This is where a huge flock of starlings have chosen to make their winter home. Now, starlings in most parts of Ireland, they will roost in places like reed beds or in woodland or that sort of thing. But here in Belfast, they have chosen this old bridge as a perfect roosting site. Starlings are very sociable birds at any time of year. But in winter, these small groups, and they're always found in small flocks, they combine to form these huge flocks of tens of thousands of birds that roost together each evening before dusk. And just before they enter their roost site, they perform these incredible aerial displays with thousands of birds flying in tight formation. This is known as a murmuration, and I'm hoping to witness one of those later on this evening. Lagan Weir is in the very heart of Belfast, and I'm to go there now to meet up with Ronald Surgener, who's the Weir operative. But he's also a volunteer with the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, and he's going to take me out in his boat to show me some of the wildlife living right here along the river.
Sort of now we'll go down into the harbour and just give him a quick shout just to get clearance and make sure it's all okay. The NTV Awards on this weekend, so security's a wee bit tighter than normal.
Okay. It's all sounding very urban now. Going under the motorway bridge. There he is, yeah. Little seal.
Yeah.
Having a look around.
He might actually move over to the boat if we're lucky. They're quite inquisitive. So.
Oh, look. There's lovely light reflecting that sunshine. He's looking his best. Little whiskers are backlit.
Nice backdrop for a photograph. I know the sun's sort of setting behind the cranes and things.
But that seal doesn't mind that there's cranes here and ferries and everything else. He's got everything he needs.
Yep. Oh, he's plenty of food and plenty of cover for him to haul out on. We have had pups born up near the weir and steps.
Really?
A couple of years ago, there was one born down there. Typical pups, totally oblivious to how sort of dangerous humans are. It was quite funny though, because people were walking down, they all seen the seal, so thought, oh, we'll go down and have a look at it. And the wee thing's just lying there looking at them. And as they walked away, it then followed them back up the steps up onto the footpath at the side of the road. And then we were going over trying to usher it down, and then the police had to come out and sort of stop people from coming down to have a look at this thing. Obviously, in the middle of the city, it's a bit of a novelty for them. So we're just coming up the Albert Bridge now. This is the main starting roost. It used to be the Queen's Bridge. For some reason, all the birds have moved up to here now.
Okay, so it's about 3 in the afternoon now. Yeah. So when do you reckon they'll start gathering?
Probably about 4:30. So you start getting dusk on the twilight. The birds will all start coming in small numbers. But being such a calm day, they won't come straight into the roost. They'll actually hang about outside, gather up into the huge big flocks that you'll see.
Excellent.
I think a technical term's a murmuration of starlings.
It's a great word, isn't it?
Yeah, but you will get quite a lot of birds coming in. Then, whenever we come in later on, we'll actually sit here and when they look, the birds will come in on some of the big numbers.
Really? So you can actually stay here and they'll still come in?
Yeah, we'll set the boat in below, just on the downstream side, and they'll actually fly in maybe sort of 5,000 birds in a flock. I think I actually quite like it in here because of the lights. It's extra heat.
These lights are just for making the bridge look good at
night? Yeah, they just make it look pretty at night. Lights it up nice and blue, and there'll be sparrowhawks and peregrine falcons and things are known to fly in through whenever the birds actually come in here. So they could be sitting roosting, the hawk will fly through and spook them, all the birds will fly out, and the sparrowhawk hopes it can pick one off on the way through. So you might even get a glimpse of that if you're really lucky while we're sitting here.
Now we're going to visit the Laganscape volunteers who are doing great work for the city's wildlife. We'll return to the river later and hopefully the starlings will put on a great display for us as they gather to roost. I'm excited about getting right under that bridge into the midst of the starling colony and recording the sounds as the birds enter the roost for the night. Laganscape is a landscape partnership scheme that works to manage Lagan Valley Park with involvement from local communities and school groups, businesses and volunteers. Joe Boylan is the education officer with Laganscape and she's working with a team of volunteers at Lagansland East on a hedge laying project.
Okay, so you're the education volunteer coordinator.
Yes, that's what I do for the Laganscape project.
And tell me about Laganscape.
Laganscape is a project supported by the Heritage Lottery Fund. We are delivering 25 projects throughout the whole Lagan Valley Regional Park under six different schemes: interpretation, heritage, and the scheme that we're working on today is community involvement. These are the Laganscape volunteers. They're a fantastic bunch. We have quite a few roles within Lagan Valley Regional Park. We've got the conservation team, the Saturday Reckon and Tearing Gang, as we call it. We've got the heritage guides that look after our recently restored Lock Keeper's Cottage. We've got volunteer rangers that support the ranger service during the week. We've got wildlife photographers and we've got a crew of survey volunteers. And they monitor butterflies, the red squirrel population, and they do Debenton's bat surveys during the month of August. But this is our Saturday morning crew. We're doing a bit of hedge laying. And hedge laying is a countryside skill that we think is being lost. From the local community. Farmers are using modern farming techniques, and through the volunteer programme we're training lots of local people up in this skill so it can live on through the community.
So Joe, talk us through what's actually happening here and what you've done this morning so far.
Well, basically this is a hedge that was planted maybe 25 years ago, and it's been left to grow of its own devices. And we've come in this morning, and what we've done is we've cut away a lot of the lower branches, and we've, the technical term for that was brashing. We've brashed everything to head height to get nice access into the trunk. Now, what we're doing with the trunk is we're using small axes to chop away and chop away and chop away at the trunk until the tree's just about ready to bend, and it splits right down to the very bottom of the trunk, and we're able to lay it over, hence the name hedge laying. And once it's laid over, we use stakes that we've already chopped on other tasks, wooden management tasks. We sharpen them up, which these guys are doing over here, creating a nice sharp edge. And these are actually driven into the ground with the big sledgehammer that Michael's got here.
An enormous sledgehammer.
It's a bit of a comedy sledgehammer, isn't it? So they're driven into the ground, and this provides a nice sort of rigid structure for the hedge. And then what we do, the final process is that we weave all the branches from the top of the trees and weave them all in to create the nice sort of lattice effect that you can see at the end of the process.
And it's sort of an art form that used to be really common rural Ireland, and now is
sort of dying away with modern farming techniques.
Yeah.
But as I said, these guys are learning the skill. We've got 20 guys here today. These guys are all trained and they can take that and show other people. We get new volunteers, everybody's getting trained, and it's volunteers training volunteers. Sometimes I stand back, these guys are the experts. So what we do is we have a buddying scheme, so when you guys come along, they watch, they learn, they try, and we just keep repeating the process, and it's fantastic.
It's great. And good physical work. It beats going to the gym.
Well, that's what I say. This is like a green gym, you know what I mean? You could go and spend money joining a gym, or you can come out here and have a bit of crack and get in the fresh air and feel like you're putting something back into the community, you know?
And in a year's time, or in a couple of years' time, this is going to grow up really nice.
It'll stand up new shoots.
Good
and
shelter
and then after
and
a
protection.
Number of years, you can lay again and repeat the process. But as I said, it's a fantastic way to create a fantastic habitat for birds and small mammals.
Lisa Montgomery is another regular down here, by all accounts.
Yes, I love coming out, and I really do. I mean, it's been fantastic. You know, I've been doing it a couple of years now, and, you know, just really want to keep going at it.
That's good physical work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good and healthy.
It's very healthy. I think as well, as well as sort of physically healthy, I think it's sort of mentally healthy as well. You know, getting out, particularly in the winter, you know, it's, you're getting out in the fresh air, the daylight.
It connects you to nature in some way.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I've sort of, we had one day we went out and I sort of, you know, we were showing a lot of different things. And, you know, before, if I'd been out for a walk, it would have just been, you know, well, it's pretty and it's nice and it's lovely, which is good. But now you see so much more. You're sort of tuned into seeing things. I've been doing, I did one year, I did butterfly surveying. And, you know, before it used to be, oh, there goes a butterfly, and now it's, there goes a ringlet.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you're starting to get tuned into those things.
Sure. So, Michael, this the hedge laying that's going on is great stuff. Looks like a pretty good area for wildlife.
Well, if you come down here in the evening time, you know, you'll almost invariably see a few foxes running about. And I just, whenever we were doing the hedgerows, I noticed some of the badger, you know, diggings, you know.
Yeah,
so there's obviously been a few badgers out as well, you know.
I'm not surprised. It's perfect habitat for all sorts of things. It's great to have such a place right in the middle of a city, so you can really experience sort of rural life in the heart of the city.
Yeah, I mean, you just, it's 10 minutes walk from my house there, and you can get out here and you feel as if you are in the country.
Yeah. Lovely. Really nice. And tell me, how important is it to have native hedgerows around? How valuable are they for wildlife?
Native hedgerows are fantastic value for biodiversity. They're really functional. This place where we are now is a farmland habitat, and it would be grazed by cattle. So whenever you're creating this form of hedge, it acts as a natural barrier to the cattle. But also, whenever you're using this technique, you're creating a fantastic habitat for wildlife. So you're creating nests and habitat. You're creating wildlife corridors for small mammals and insects, and also little wildflowers and small plants to grow in as well.
And I often, you know, people often refer to hedgerows sort of as being corridors, but aren't they very much, they're a place where many animals can actually live out their entire life cycle. No, I used to think of them as always the little corridors where they ran, animals would sort of run from one woodland to another via hedge, but of course there are so many hoverflies and bees and wasps and things that live their entire lives in these places.
Now back to Elbert Bridge, where I'm hoping to record the sounds from inside the starling roost of 40,000 birds.
Okay, so it's about 4:30 in the afternoon now, and the sun does looks like it's getting pretty low in the sky. All's quiet for now, but there's the odd little flock of starlings to be seen on the horizon. In fact, there's quite a nice little group coming in now.
Yeah, you're getting wee flocks, maybe sort of 30 or 40 birds coming in. Hopefully they'll all start banding together soon, creating bigger flocks.
And of course they're coming, they've been feeding out in the countryside.
Yeah, they've been out around the fields, out around the farmland and stuff. All different flocks, for some reason they all know to come back to this one bridge. They all come back and gather up together.
I guess it must be something about safety in numbers.
Yeah, safety numbers and probably a bit of warmth as well. Just with the heat generated from the sheer volume of them under in a confined space under the bridge.
These apartments on either side of the bridge, they've got little balconies. They will have a perfect view of what must be some spectacle. Well, hopefully on an evening like this, conditions look perfect.
Yeah, no, it's ideal for them. So hopefully we get a decent number of birds coming in. As the weather gets colder, more birds will come in off the continent, and the flocks will get bigger and bigger. Depends on how harsh the weather is out, sort of, I suppose. France and stuff like that.
Sure, because these aren't just Irish birds. They'll be supplemented in the winter by birds from Scandinavia.
Some extra migrants come in with them, help build the numbers up, and then during the summer they all scatter and go out to their own wee breeding sites. Just for watching here at the minute, there's a few more wee flocks coming in. Wee dribs and drabs over the top of the apartments here. So they might sort of land on the apartments, but let numbers build up a wee bit, and then they'll start flying again. They'll start making all the fancy shapes in the sky.
And they gather, there's one small flock joining a slightly bigger one, and that's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the little flocks come in, nice, the way they join together.
Well, they start off maybe 15, 20 birds, and all of a sudden, next time you look up 2 minutes later, there could be 300 birds over top of you as all the wee flocks join.
Yeah, just circling over the river, and what against the blue sky. The traffic is really building up. I mean, this bridge isn't some quiet, remote little bridge. This is one of the main thoroughfares of Belfast.
No, it's one of the main roads out of Belfast. It's a main bridge. You have buses regularly going over. You can have maybe four or five buses a minute going over. You're right beside the train station. All the commuters, people are walking back and forward in and out to work as well. So it's a fairly well-used bridge. And then you have boat traffic in below it. Not an awful lot of it, but we'll be working at lights and doing inspections, and the birds will still stay there.
That's remarkable. It's getting towards rush hour too. Oh, now there's another group joining. Nice. Oh yeah, because now a few minutes ago there were probably only fives and tens, and now there's probably what?
Well, there's one flock actually flying just by this wee flock we have above us. There's a flock above us about 100 birds, and there's another flock about 150 just flew past them, so they might come back round. You can just start to hear them calling to each other there.
Yeah, you suddenly don't realise. You see all the small flocks, and then suddenly, a few minutes later, now there's a couple of hundred birds.
A couple of hundred birds together.
And another group coming in. Another 20, 30, 40 birds arriving. Oh, look now.
Well, they're starting to make a few shapes for us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now look at that. Flocks. Where do they come from?
Yeah, well, there's another sort of big flock that's come and joined them here. So.
They must use up a lot of energy with all this flying around.
Yeah, but they must enjoy it, or else they wouldn't do it. It's quite funny, actually, to see the commuters will be stopping soon as well. They'll stand and watch out the side of the bridge. There's another pretty big flock, about 100 birds coming in.
Yeah. So, now they're flying right overhead. And as they turn the wheel, one makes a decision to suddenly take a left, and they all sort of follow and wheel after each other. Remarkable how they don't fly into each other. Well, suppose when they film this in slow motion, they see how you have an individual bird is only picking up signals from 4, 5, 6 birds around it.
It's sort of watching the ones on the left or the right.
To the left and the right. But then as one bird makes a decision, that wave travels through the entire flock.
Fantastic watching them sort of turning from, you can hardly see them in their side on, to whenever you see them fully with their wings, it just goes black.
And they just make a beeline for the main flock, don't they?
Yeah.
And all at different heights too, and different levels.
Oh. You can actually nearly hear their wings are coming down that close to us.
Yes.
Once they all come in, they tend to settle fairly well. We could actually go underneath them in the boat then. It'll be.
Oh, look at that.
And now they're sort of. Hear a few more calls there now. They're coming down within 40-50 feet of the boat. So.
The sky is going black. It's something out of that Hitchcock film.
We'll actually just drift down underneath the arch of the bridge here with the flow of the river.
There must be several thousand birds in the air right now. Sparrowhawk.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Sparrowhawk?
Just passing through the middle of them, yeah.
No. Aha. I wonder why he's here.
Well, he wasn't successful in that flyby, but...
He's landed. He's just landed at the other side of the bridge on an old... a post.
He'll wait there for a while and see if he'll have another one until the birds get themselves reorganised back into another flock.
Now, surely he's going to have some luck here because what sparrowhawks do is they make these sort of ambush attacks. And so he's quite likely, I'd say, to come flying under the bridge or around one of the struts.
Yeah, he'll fly.
And if there's
under the
anything,
bridge.
They just don't have time. They just don't have time to get away. The moon's out now. The moon seems to be getting brighter, and that's because the sun is just about setting. So I'd say any minute now, they are going to disappear.
Should be starting to drop in. You can actually feel the temperature as well. It's dropped a few degrees from the sun went down.
Yeah.
These birds are still wheeling about in sort of massive big cloud. But hopefully one or two of them will just take the initiative and decide to go to bed for the night, and the rest of them will just follow suit. It's just like nearly like water being poured out, or they all just drop down, all fly underneath and pick their arches. We'll just gradually drift down, so hopefully we'll time it right. They'll be under the bridge as we drift underneath it here.
Perfect.
And you get the full impact of the noise.
There they go. That's it. Oh, it's almost like water pouring, isn't it? They're just
constant stream, yeah.
That is amazing. Look, all of them. Literally everyone pouring in.
They're probably racing each other to see who can get to bed first. You get the most comfortable spots.
Oh, wow. And now the sky is empty within seconds.
Once they decide to go, that's them.
They just
drop in.
I don't know where that sparrowhawk disappeared to. I just took my eyes off him and I can't see him now, but I don't think he was successful tonight.
No, he must have missed his chance. He may go home to bed himself.
As we drift under the bridge, it's like the sounds of the city are starting to disappear and the natural sounds are starting to take over.
Very quickly getting noisier.
Yeah. I'd say the bridge will only be about 6 feet above our heads as we drift past, so we're going to get very, very close to these birds. Getting louder and louder.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, so we're just going under the bridge now, and we are now in the colony. That is remarkable. There are hundreds of birds just above our heads, and they're all lined up. The city has disappeared.
All the traffic noise is totally drowned now by the noise of birds.
But they're all perched, and as we drift under them, they're just staying remarkably calm. But they're swapping places. There's this constant squabbling for the best places. And because these lights are shining on the underneath of the bridge to make it look nice for everyone, we can see exactly what's going on.
They're starting to pass out from under the bridge now. So you can hear traffic noise and buses and things starting up again.
That was really cool. That was seriously cool.
That's us through now.
So they're going to keep up this cacophony for another half an hour?
Another half an hour or so, and we'll keep that racket up. Then at least it will shut down. And that'll be it. You won't hear a noise underneath there until something disturbs them. If a boat passes through, a few of them will start off again, then they'll settle down again fairly quickly.
Just an empty sky now.
Yeah, not a thing up there. Just the moon rising up, and that's ahead of it now.
That was some spectacle. And just to see it in nice an environment like this, you know, I've seen it before over reed beds, but to see such a wonderful natural spectacle in an urban environment, just somehow, it somehow makes it even more special.
Yeah, even the constant flights coming in and out, trains coming and going, buses, cars, just shows you right in the heart of the city and there's still so much wildlife about.
I guess when the landscape has changed so much, you know, this place with all its tall buildings and busy road networks and railway lines, well, you would think, well, how could wildlife possibly survive here? But in the last 24 hours, I've seen all sorts of stuff, ending up with this amazing starling display. You know, animals will find a way to inhabit urban spaces. And it's been really positive to see here in Belfast that there is this real spirit of volunteerism and a real interest and passion for the wildlife that is found here.